Hello, this is Ship to Shore with Silverman, with your host, talk radio advocate Fran Silverman. This show is about cruises, and I'm delighted to have as my guest today George Smart, a business coach who speaks on making the workplace less insane and more profitable. His consulting put him on a lot of planes, but that was for work. Now he and his wife are flying mostly for pleasure on their way to a cruise ship somewhere. George is a former travel contributor writer for Arthur Frommer's Budget Travel magazine, and he and his wife have taken 25 cruises over the past decade to North, Central, South America, Europe, and Asia. What's so remarkable is the couple travel around the world, often in first class, rarely paying full price, if anything at all. George is an expert at frequent flyer programs and has collected over 5 million points and miles. This year, he was on ABC's News Nightline sharing secrets on how to travel the world without paying much and yet gaining miles without having to fly to earn them. George, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure.
Hey, okay. First of all, do you have a website where we can view the Nightline segment?
No, I don't. But if you go to ABC's Nightline and type in frequent flyer, you should be able to get there.
Oh, okay. I'll have to do that. So let's hear about this. Let's hear about this this secret. I want to hear this.
Well, most people who are going on cruises, a lot of them will have to fly to their destination. And that was certainly the case for my wife and I when we started doing cruises. And we would find that in some cases the cost of the air ticket was as much or more than the cost of the cruise. So I started investigating the idea of getting some frequent flyer miles. Now, as most people know, frequent flyer miles are a reward from the airline that you get for flying their equipment frequently. But that is not entirely true anymore. You can now get frequent flyer miles for a variety of different things, for buying a cup of coffee, to making a hotel reservation, to getting a rental car, to shopping, to getting a credit card, to getting a mortgage. Almost anything you can possibly purchase can now turn into miles, and that can mean tens of thousands of miles for people.
You mean with a credit card?
With a credit card or with different kinds of point systems. We've exploded from the days where they were just American Miles and Delta Miles and United Miles and things like that. Citibank and the large banks have their own, essentially it's a mileage system. It's a series of points that can be converted to miles.
So you have to spend money, in other words, to use it because you have to use your credit card, right?
Well, that's one way of doing it, but here's the secret. The banks are so anxious for people to get their credit card that they will often offer sometimes insane bonuses to get the card. For instance, about 2 years ago, British Airways out of the UK offered 100,000 frequent flyer miles if you signed up for their card.
Wow.
That was a new record. Now, British Airways miles are great if you want to travel from the U.S. to London or points further. And now, through their alliance with American, you can use British Airways miles on American Airlines at a discount. For instance, if I want to travel from my home airport to New York City, and if my wife and I both go, it would cost us 50,000 American Airlines miles. But if we use the British Airways miles, it only costs us about 18,000 per person each way. So that's 36,000 total for the same flight. With that 100,000 mile card, we can make that trip three times, just about.
So do you have to be flexible? I mean, in terms of flying. Do you have to fly on certain flights to use it, or can you use this on any flight?
You can use this pretty much on any flight with some planning. It's harder to get certain routes. For instance, we wanted to fly free in first class from the United States to Australia. And we had to plan that about 10 or 11 months in advance to get the best seats. But normally within the U.S. for domestic, if you're a couple of months out and it's not a holiday period you're trying to fly in, you can pretty much get whatever destination you want on the dates that you want.
So, in other words, you don't purchase a credit card unless you get miles. Is that it?
That's right. And a lot of these credit cards come without annual fees, and some come with annual fees, but the value of the miles far exceeds the fee that you might pay. And there are also some additional benefits sometimes. Sometimes they'll give you a free companion ticket, or if you buy one fare, you get the other fare free. Once you start getting into this and doing a little reading on the subject, it can really amount to an enormous windfall for people that like to travel. And as the cruisers know who listen to your show, it's great to get on the ship and go from port to port to port, but it's even better if you've flown there and back for free.
Say that again?
It's even better if you've flown to your port and back for free.
In other words, you're talking about you fly to the cruise?
Yes.
For example, you were leaving, the last time you were on my show, you were leaving for Asia.
Yes.
Now, I assume that was a cruise, right?
Yes.
Now, did you go direct from where you live in North Carolina, or did you fly to the cruise?
We flew to the cruise.
You flew to the cruise. What cruise ship were you on?
You know, I don't recall that right offhand.
Oh.
After 25, they sort of have blurred together.
So
we have are able to fly to the port for free. And I wanted to get your listeners some ideas about how to get started really easily.
Okay.
Because this is something that anybody can do. It doesn't take a lot of money. It takes maybe about a half an hour or an hour a week to do some research and keep track of things. So the first step is to make sure that you and your spouse or partner have frequent flyer accounts with all the major American and international airlines. So American, Delta, United, Southwest, US Air, here domestically, and in Britain, Virgin and British Airways and probably Air France would be some of the major ones that people would get most of the time. And getting those frequent flyer numbers is free, and some people already have them from the travel that they're on. The next step is to reduce the time it takes to keep track of all those miles. So there are a couple of different mileage pieces of software that are free that you can use online. You can enter in all those frequent flyer numbers once, and from there on out, you just press one button to get an update on all your mileage. One of the best sites is called awardwallet.com. Awardwallet.com. And there's another very good site called usingmiles.com.
Wow.
Taking 20 minutes and entering in all your numbers, and it also applies to car rental numbers and hotel chain frequent traveler numbers, allows you to check everything with just the touch of one button. That essentially becomes your scoring mechanism for keeping track of the miles you accumulate. And the next step, and this is free and easy, is there are a number of very good frequent flyer blogs that you can read on the internet. And these blogs keep track of what the best offers are for tens or hundreds of thousands of miles at any given time. Some of those blogs are the Frugal Travel Guys, which is run by a friend of mine, Rick Ingersoll. There's a group of blogs called The Boarding Area, which has several sections. One is called View from the Wing, which is Gary Leff. He's one of the most well-known bloggers in the country. Delta Points, Frequent Miler, Advantage Geek, One Mile at a Time, and The Point Sky are all very well-known blogs. There's also one called The Cranky Flyer, which is kind of funny, and another one called Million Mile Secrets.
Now, tell us again, what is the purpose of reading these blogs?
These blogs keep detailed track every day, sometimes more than once a day, of where the current deals are to get frequent flyer miles.
Oh.
So they'll post on the blog what is the hottest deal, and then you can go out and get it. For instance, around Christmas time when people are buying gifts, there are a number of retailers that will give you 5 or 10 or sometimes even 20 frequent flyer miles per dollar that you spend. So if you're going out to spend $100 on a present, you could get as many as 10, 15, 20,000 miles from that one purchase. That's almost a round-trip ticket in the U.S.
So, all right. So then, in other words, let's just go over this again.
You
have to have a credit card that gives you frequent flyer miles.
Yes.
You have to go to the software, the websites that keep track of that. And what else do you have to do?
It's helpful if you read the blogs so you can see where the best deals are. And this is quite an addictive little hobby, because once you start to figure out what miles are worth, which is roughly between about a penny and 2 cents, you can start making pretty interesting choices about how you want to earn your miles. One of my most entertaining adventures was getting rental cars a few years ago. There was an offer I read about on the blog where for renting a car for a day, I could get 10,000 miles. Now, that's a lot of miles. And renting a car for a day could be as low as $20 in some airports.
10,000 frequent flyer miles? Wow.
10,000 frequent flyer miles, yes. So I went to my local airport, and I made about 10 rental reservations back-to-back and spent the morning renting cars and taking them back, renting cars and taking them back. So by the end of the morning, I had spent roughly about $200 in rental cars, but I had received about 100,000 miles.
Oh, so instead of renting the car just once and taking it out, you just took it and took it back and then took it out again and took it out again, because every time you took it out, you got more miles? Is that what you did?
That's right. That's right.
Let me ask you something, George. Do you use a travel agent, or do you do this all on your own?
No, I do it on my own. Occasionally, if we have a very involved itinerary, I will use a travel agent.
Oh. So, in other words, this is something that you really have to take into your own hands and do
yes.
on your own. Yeah, with a lot of people.
Travel agents will not keep track of miles for you. They'll enter in your frequent flyer number on your reservation, of course. But this is a way for couples particularly to accumulate lots of points and miles so that they can enjoy the world at really very little cost. On our trip to Australia, for instance, we flew first class to Los Angeles on Delta, and then we flew first class on Virgin Australia all the way to Sydney. The total cost of that trip was just in the taxes, which was a couple hundred dollars per person. But the value of the ticket was somewhere around $11,000 or $12,000 per person. So we got $20,000+ worth of flying for about $400.
So in other words, first class, if you have enough travel miles, you can use that for first class. Is that it?
You certainly can. And first class on international long flight, this was 14 hours, was really wonderful.
What a pleasure.
Yeah. And that was to a cruise. We cruised around Australia and New Zealand.
So, okay, when you were on Nightline, did this get you a lot of, well, I don't know what you were looking for. Were you looking for people to come to your website? Do you have a website that...
No, I'm not one of these bloggers. I'm just a participant in this mileage game who has played quite a lot for about a decade now. I was at a conference that was sponsored by Rick Ingersoll, who is the Frugal Travel Guy blog, in Chicago last October. And ABC Nightline was there talking with different participants at the conference. And I was featured telling the story about the rental cars.
So that's how you got on Nightline?
Yes.
So what was the feedback?
Well, the feedback, you know, people, it's very interesting. A lot of people think that it's just some sort of scam, like it's just too good to be true. But there's no scam to it at all. It's just a matter of taking advantage of the offers that the banks and the airlines and the credit card companies and the retailers and the rental car people are offering you. And sometimes they're just so lucrative. You really can't afford to not do it.
Okay. George, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you about some of the cruise lines you've been on.
Sure.
I'll try to remember what they are.
Okay. I certainly will.
Okay, we're back with George Smart, and he is smart. My goodness. George, you've traveled on many of the top cruise lines, such as Celebrity, Costa, Princess, Carnival, Holland America, Norwegian. Which is your favorite and which is your least favorite?
Well, we like, as our general all-around cruise line, is Princess. Princess has a very nice package. The food is always great. The service is always great. It's very, very reasonably priced. Their ships don't have dozens or hundreds of tiny children running underneath our feet, and it doesn't have dozens or hundreds of very drunk 20-somethings running around the deck. So it's perfect for us and very affordable, and it's our general all-around cruise line. Our second favorite is one that we think has the best itineraries, and that is a little-known line to most Americans, the Costa Cruise Line out of Italy.
Oh, that's the one that had the accident.
Yes. We have been Costa fans for years and been on probably 10 of their cruises. They do an extraordinarily good job, actually. And they do it in 5 languages, which is absolutely amazing. Every announcement on the ship is in 5 different languages. They travel all around the Mediterranean. They go to some of the best ports. They were one of the first cruise lines to have active sailings into Egypt and into Israel. They are very reasonably priced. In fact, some of their, we've been where the cost of a Mediterranean cruise in a balcony has been less than $100 a night. And we use our frequent flyer miles to get us to the embarkation ports, which are typically around Italy or in Spain.
So which ships are your least favorite?
We're not big fans of Carnival. We've been on a couple of Carnival cruises, and they were very loud, and we didn't particularly think the food was nearly as good as on some of the other lines. So we don't do Carnival anymore.
Well, Carnival is if you're bringing kids.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Or if you're having a party at spring break.
Mm-hmm.
Royal Caribbean is very nice. I'm not a huge fan of Norwegian. I put them in the same category as Carnival. So we don't tend to use Carnival or Norwegian very much. It's going to be Princess or Costa or Holland America or Celebrity. And then occasionally, every couple of years, we'll do a river cruise through Europe as a special treat. We have to save up for those because those are much more expensive than for a typical U.S. cruise line.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really extraordinarily different experience. The ships are much smaller. They're much shorter in height, only 3 or 4 stories tall because they have to fit under these very small bridges throughout the European river system.
So the river crews themselves are more expensive. It's not
yes.
just because obviously for you getting there is not a problem because you have all these points.
All these miles.
So do you have recommendations like of which ships are better for seniors?
What I find is that Princess is very good for seniors. Holland America is sort of the next level up, in our opinion, is very, very good. Celebrity is excellent. They're the kind of upscale mid-range lines. They're also particularly good if you get in your requests in advance. We've talked with several people with mobility problems who were concerned about going on the cruise. And because they took the time to plan ahead and communicate with the cruise line what they needed, they had no problem and had a delightful time. It's
on
a little more
line?
Difficult.
On which line?
This was on Celebrity and on Holland America.
Celebrity and Holland America.
Yes.
And what about for lectures and academic people and people who want a lot of information? Do you have any suggestions?
We have not been on those cruises, but there seems to be an explosion of topic-based cruises, particularly in places like the Arctic and the Antarctic. There are a number of specialty ships that run out of South America that will visit the Antarctic. They will go for a couple of weeks. They are not cheap, but they're very intensely detailed. They take subject matter experts with them on oceanography and on the continent itself, on the geology, on the flora and fauna that you can find in the Antarctic, and about the effect of the environment on the Antarctic and the ice caps. So if people are looking for an immersion experience, they can certainly get one there.
Now, what about for singles?
For singles, that's a little tougher. Most of the cruises we have been on, of course, as we've been married a long time, we're not paying particular attention to that. But I know that there are many more theme cruises that are being offered by the cruise lines now that attract a very high number of singles. For instance, there are rock and roll cruises where certain bands will take to the sea for a week, and they have a lot of singles there. There are swing dance cruises. There are poker cruises. Any of these for specialty topic cruises tend to attract more single people and thus raise the potential for meeting others.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, you look more for theme cruises than the cruise line itself to see which...
Right.
Cruise lines or whatever. What about honeymooners?
Honeymooners, you know, for us, you really can't beat the Greek Isles. So we always encourage people, if they're going on a honeymoon, to just find any one of several lines that go through some of the Greek islands. And a number of those will also make it over to Egypt and to Israel, which are really nice lifetime experiences to see the pyramids. To see Jerusalem, we found that traveling in Israel was very, very safe, even in the West Bank, because the one thing that all the different people can't agree on over there is that tourism is important. nobody wants to mess with the tourists.
Yeah, we were supposed to go to Israel, and we didn't go because they had problems, and we're so sorry we didn't go because they always have problems.
Right.
So, did you go to the Greek Isles on your honeymoon that you recommended so?
We went around that time for our actual honeymoon. We did a river cruise in France down the Seine. We mm-hmm. started outside of Paris and then finished up inside Paris about 6 days later.
Wow.
It was a beautiful excursion.
Now, finally, what about for non-smokers?
Well, you know, most of the ships are really very good about smoking policy. Some ships are banning it in the rooms. A lot of ships have banned it on the balconies because people have thrown live cigarettes overboard, and that's a fire hazard. The policy varies from ship to ship, but I think people who are looking for a very clean experience can definitely find it.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're putting, because we were on Royal Caribbean on the Oasis of the Seas, and they have a special areas where they have smoking. But, you know, as you well know, smoke wafts into, they said you could be in one area, but it goes into another area. And it's very annoying.
The only line that really is a problem is Costa. Because so many Europeans are smoking now.
Yeah.
That is one of the drawbacks if you're a non-smoker. But we traveled, we went on Costa last year to Norway. And it was just one of the most magical trips of our life, and the ship was excellent.
Because the Norwegians don't smoke, or is
No, it wasn't about smoking. It's just because the cruise itself and seeing Norway was a phenomenal experience, and we were not bothered very often on board with any kind of smoking issue.
Yeah, I guess you just have to be lucky, because it just seems that they just can't ban it completely.
Well, no, not quite yet. There was an attempt a number of years ago. Carnival had a ship that was totally non-smoking. And they eventually had to retract that policy and make it the limited smoking that is on all their ships.
George, we have about 3 minutes, so if there's anything you'd like to add.
I would like to just encourage people who want to stick their toe in the water of collecting frequent flyer miles to start reading some of these blogs, Frugal Travel Guy, A Million Mile Secrets, View from the Wing, 1 mile at a time, are all easily accessible online. And you can just start to see that at little or no cost, you can accumulate miles without traveling. And you can do so without going into debt or damaging your credit rating or any of the things that you might be worried about. And this will allow you to travel the world for nearly nothing.
Have you ever thought about doing a website and giving some information about this? Or?
Well, there are others that are doing a great job of that already. And I'm already running a website for a different kind of organization, so I don't have any time to take on another project.
I see. Well, tell us a little about being on TV. What was that like?
It was very quick. There is a reporter with a microphone, there is a sound guy, and there's the cameraman. They spend about 2 minutes asking you what you want to talk about. You talk about it, and then they disappear. They're very good at what they do, and this was filmed in October of last year, and I believe it aired for the first time in January, and they've repeated it several times since.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, the thing is with TV is that it's sound bites. It's fast. You don't get a whole half hour like you do here.
No, this is very much a luxury.
George, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today. You gave us so much great information.
Well, you are quite welcome, Fran, and good luck to you and the show.
Thank you very, very much.